All right, this is Georgia intro.
Uh-huh. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, someone in Sweden stays up late to talk about country from another country.
Also, Orfolk Jokopis. I knew I was going to screw that up.
Let's try that again. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, someone in Sweden stays up late to talk about country from another country.
Also, Orfolk Jokopis.
I think I got it right. There it is. Nice.
So we're back in the basement.
We are in the basement again. Still here. I love you, basement. Later we'll play pool.
Thanks a lot. That'd be great.
Yeah.
We can do that. We have that here. And we're going to continue our little series here on Rockin' the Suburbs, where we talk to some people about their favorite songs of 2016.
Fantastic.
Eventually, we'll reveal our picks.
Yes.
But that's not for today.
No.
Today, we are going to talk with friend of the show, Georgia. Hang on a second. I got to get this right.
You got it, Jim. Are you going to say Mackie Tello?
Mackie Tello. Did I get that right, Georgia?
That's right.
Okay, so, and by the way, I'm Jim Linehan.
And I remain Patrick Foster.
And Georgia is a friend of the podcast, and
sure,
we have her on Skype, and she's in the suburbs in Sweden.
She's in a different suburban locale, yeah.
So it's like really late for you there, right?
Yeah, it's 11:30 at night.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's early for Patrick.
That's right. Just warming up.
Yeah. And Georgia, tell us a little bit about your musical interests. I know that you are from Minnesota, from Minneapolis, and so I think you have we have some common interest in The Replacements, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I used to go to this record store called Orfolk Jokopis, mm-hmm, and you've read about Peter Jesperson.
Yes.
And he used to be the manager of this store. So I'd go there all the time, and Peter would always give me the most amazing recommendations. I mean, he's the one who really helped me grow from like a teenager to the next level of you know, learning about music and experimenting with new bands and listening to old bands and things like that. And yeah, I would see Paul Westerberg and Chris Mars, whoever, you know, at the record shop all the time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Peter nurtured you as well as Paul and the rest of the guys, right?
I think he nurtured a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever thank him enough for some of the things that he just really helped me grow up in many ways, because the kind of music I really listened to when I was younger, you know, I listened to what everyone listened to in the 70s, you know, from Zeppelin, you know, Spooky Tooth and all these other bands. And yes, I listened to, you know, progressive rock and things like that. But you know, when you went to see Peter, he would recommend these albums that of new bands that you'd never heard of. And I really got into a lot of Australian bands because of him. The Hoodoo Gurus, for example, mm-hmm, amazing. And I mean, of course, the local bands in the Twin Cities. We had, it isn't just The Replacements, there's, of course, Husker Du. The Suburbs was the name of a band,
right,
and they still are around and quite good.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, so I imagine living in Minneapolis in the 80s just must have been really exciting.
Incredible.
Music-wise, right?
It really was, but I don't think we appreciated it as much at the time. And part of it is because, I'm not a Ramones fan. And I think part of it is because you had to be New York in order to be cool. And I think in Minneapolis, we had that kind of feeling, but no one really acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of clubs that were really good. Of course, First Avenue is the one everyone knows about. And I have spent many, 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 many wonderful evenings there. All kinds of music and seeing all kinds of bands early on. From U2, you know, when you think about it, small club. And
yeah.
I mean, Iggy Pop and Culture Club, Duran Duran. I mean, you start going through the list of ABC and, you know, you think about it. You guess the Replacements. I mean, obviously, there's so much that we had in the Twin Cities. And a lot of it we didn't really appreciate as much as I think we would have if we were like in New York. Does mm-hmm. that make sense to you?
It does make sense. And, you know, it's interesting, kind of growing up probably around the same time you did, Georgia, but having my experience in Washington, D.C., even noted less as a music town than Minneapolis, I would say, right?
Yes.
It's the same kind of feeling. It was like, oh, you know, you went to see Fugazi all the time at D.C. Space at these tiny places, and you're like, well, it's just Ian's band. You know, you didn't think that, like, wow, it's Fugazi, and they're going to, you know, have this incredible impact, or all those kind of DC punk bands, you know, Scream when Dave Grohl was in the band at the end, you know, it's like, oh yeah, just that new drummer, he's not all that great or whatever.
These are like local bands to you, they're familiar.
That's what it
right?
is, yeah,
these
but
are,
you
these
don't,
are just guys
yeah.
from the neighborhood, right?
Right, and because the media lens and you know, the other kinds of lenses were different, you probably didn't quite understand the moment you were going through at the time, but that was part of the nice part about that experience. It was just kind of, you know, your circle of music people.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to realize, too, when I went to high school, with Matt Wilson, who was with Semisonic, mm-hmm. and wrote songs for Adele and Dixie Chicks. And I think he's won both Academy and Grammy.
Wow.
I know he's got at least one or two Grammy Awards, but yeah, he was the great between my brother and I. My brother knows him. And Peter Himmelman, I don't know if you know much about him. He was really well known in the Twin Cities.
Uh-huh.
He went on to marry Bob Dylan's oldest daughter.
Wow.
He lives in LA, and he does a lot of movie soundtracks and I think television soundtracks. I think he did Crossing Jordan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He did a few of those. And then I want to say, and I can't remember his name right now, but the guy who played keyboards with the doctor's, the medical suit,
yeah.
who played for Prince.
Right. Yeah, right.
My high school as well. I mean, you start going through it. Yeah, we had a lot of very musical, very arty school. So it was quite, quite fun.
I often wonder too, you know, sometimes in these kind of, I think a lot of times too, these cities that are maybe a little bit farther removed geographically from other places, they lend themselves to developing this great music scene because maybe a lot of bands don't come there, tour there, things like that. And so you kind of have to do it yourself, right?
There's a lot of that. And then we didn't have a great radio station. Well, we would have a station for like a year, like an alternative station, then we'd lose it. It would go back and forth. Now we have a great alternative station, the Twin Cities, The Current, which, by the way, Paul Westerberg's sister is one of the DJs.
Oh,
Mary
oh, wow.
She's on in the afternoons. Yeah. And so that's really cool. We're really lucky. We have The Current. They're amazing. But you still would have that because of Orfolk and some of the other local really good record stores in town. We had a lot of knowledge about what good bands to see. So you two would come to Twin Cities a lot. In fact, they filmed, I think, October, the video for October in Minneapolis. I mean, they would come to town quite often. I was a big fan of the band The Church. And mm-hmm. the first time they came to the Twin Cities, I mean, they had been on a tour, maybe 30 people, most audiences. They came in, it was like 1,000 people.
Wow.
They couldn't believe it. And they couldn't believe it because they weren't getting radio play in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all underground. And it was that kind of a scene. So I think it was part of it because the University of Minnesota is right there between Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you got the college feel there. That helped a lot. And then also, I think there was this kind of feeling like you want to push as much as you could to see what's the newest, you know, let's see what kind of music we can get now. And, you know, and then also Prince is a few years older than me, but he was starting to come up as well. I mean, we all knew about him, and maybe saw him around town a lot, but we, you know, we didn't really appreciate him either. I'll be honest with you. I don't think anyone really did until he passed on a few months. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not going to end on that sad note. No. We are going to take a little break here. We're going to come back, and then George is going to talk about her favorite song of 2016.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
All right. So stick with us. Hey, Patrick, do you ever find there are times when you are not listening to music?
No.
Well, sometimes I enjoy a good movie.
Oh, that sounds fun.
You know, the Blues Brothers or,
music movie.
You know, Almost Famous.
Music movie.
Right. Or That Thing You Do.
Music movie.
The Last Waltz.
Music, you know, movie.
These are all classics, yeah, right?
Music playing the whole time.
So what's common about all of those movies is that they are out of theaters. And there is a there's a podcast you can listen to about classic movies. It's by a couple of friends of ours. Their names are Will Pfeiffer and Billy Culpa, and it's called Out of Theaters. And they talk about old movies. One guy's a movie buff. The other guy hasn't seen that many. So
that's really cool.
You know, kind of have different perspectives.
Yeah.
And how you can do this is you can go to outoftheaters.com or you can subscribe on iTunes.
Perfect.
So now you might do something other than listen to music?
No.
All right. Okay, Georgia. So we are back now on Rockin' the Suburbs, and you are going to tell us about your favorite song of last year. Do you want to set it up or do you want me to just play a clip first?
Play a clip.
All right, here we go.
Town on the unpaved road, I was $57 from being broke. Kissed my mama and my sisters, and I said goodbye. And with my suitcase packed, I wiped the tears from my eyes. Tough growing up at home. My daddy lost the farm when I was 2 years old. Took a job at the prison, working second shift. And that's the last time I'll let them take what should be his.
Hands of Time, Margot Price.
Margot Price. Yep.
What do you love about that song?
There's a lot to love about that song. First, we've got the voice. I mean, she's got this kind of Tammy Wynette meets.
Yeah.
It just maybe a little Loretta Lynn kind of feel. I mean, she's got such a really beautiful voice. And I've talked to people who've seen her live, and they said there's more oomph when you see her live. It's beautiful. Her voice is just gorgeous.
This is one of my favorite albums of the year.
It's quite a great record.
Yep. So good. I've listened to it, you know, over and over again. Sometimes, you know, I get one of those moods, and it's just tremendous. I think Margot Price is a real talent. And I did see her live at South by Southwest. I think you did too, right, Patrick?
We were there together. It was quite wonderful at Stubbs Barbecue. Yep.
I saw her at a different place. We didn't see her at the same...
No, that's right. We didn't see her at the same time. Right.
The memories, yeah.
That's Austin.
Run together there. But yeah, she's great live. She's tremendous.
Yep.
And that song in particular just really... That's really great, you know, lyrically. It tells us, you know, this great story about kind of the trials and travails of rural America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I agree with everything you said. There's real sort of honesty, I think, in her work and how she sings, how she delivers it, but also then, you know, the songwriting is just really strong too.
Absolutely. And from what I understand, this song is very autobiographical. It's a little bit of her origin song. I get this feeling when I hear this song that I think of her when she was young and starting to sing and thinking, okay, one day I'll become famous, and I'll get that farm back, and everything will be how it was supposed to be. You just have that feeling when you hear this song, like, I'm going to make things right. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. I mean, the storytelling, the overcoming some of the past, it's beautiful. I mean, it's a great song, and I love the storytelling. I think this is something that that we've been missing for a few years, you know, with music. And I love that genre. I love the storytelling and beautiful songwriting. A song that moves forward and makes you think a little bit, but you're still enjoying it. You can enjoy the song for what it is, or you can make you maybe reflect a little bit as well.
Now, are you a big fan of country music?
You know, it's funny because I hated it when I was young, although I grew up watching Johnny Cash on TV. He was on, you know, between 69 and 71, too, around that. And also Glen Campbell. Those were shows that our family would watch, but I came from a rock family. So in the late 70s, there were so many bands like, you know, the Eagles, of course. They're early on, especially, they were kind of a country rock, and, you know, Poco and Pure Prairie League and Firefall and all these bands. You know, so if you asked me if I liked country, I would have said no, but yeah, I did. I've always liked elements of it. Now I absolutely love it. I will put on the country station when I'm traveling in the States, driving. It's kind of fun to hear the songs. I love, like, the alt country is my favorite. It's remarkable, and to me, it's what is more interesting in music right now. I think that they're doing a lot with it.
Yeah, and I think you said it right, Georgia, when you said Tammy Wynette. That's the vibe that Margo Price really gives off for me. And yeah, love this album this year. And I hope that maybe next year or in the years coming, she finds her George Jones. I would love her to actually sing some duets. You know, I think that'd be kind of really cool. You know, there's got to be somebody out there that would play the George Jones role.
I was thinking the same thing. Although, did you hear her when she sang with Jack White? I'm lonely, right? That lonely yet?
I don't think I did, but Jack would seem an obvious kind of candidate, right? He would be right there.
They were on Prairie Comb Companion. I mean, only came on for the one song. And, I mean, that's also Minnesota, too. It's totally a Minnesota thing.
Very much. That's right.
Lake and Wobegon. Now it's like a 2.0, we're calling it, with Chris Thule?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, taking it over from Garrison. And you know, Ryan Adams is going to be on next month. I mean, they're bringing in a lot of different types of music. And she came on stage to perform with Jack on the White Stripes song, I'm Lonely, But I Ain't That Lonely Yet. And it was really great. So much, wanna hop on the next jet. And I'm lonely, but I ain't that lonely yet.
But
So
that's nice. I didn't even know that. I'll have to check that out.
I'm just really happy that we seem to be past the trend of like the music that has like foot stomps and things like that and all that kind of like hokey, cliched kind of Americana stuff. And we're back now to stuff like this, which is just pure authentic, you know, good, you know, country slash roots music, stuff like that.
So, amen. Yeah.
All right.
Very good friend.
Okay. Thanks very much, Georgia. Georgia Macitalo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks a lot. And thanks for joining us all the way from some other part of the world. You're very nice to do that. And try to stay warm. And I, you know, don't sleep too much with all the darkness, right?
We watch movies this seriously, watch movies this time of year. It's dark 21 hours of the day.
Wow.
So you're watching Netflix 8-9 hours a day sometimes.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, thanks very much. This was a great pick and a lot of fun.
Love to talk to you, Georgia. You're welcome anytime.
And Georgia, be sure to tell your friends about Rock in the Suburbs. You can find it on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
Or you can find it on Audio Boom. And also people can find us on Twitter at Suburbs Pod. They can find us also on Facebook. Same deal, Suburbs Pod. They can send us an email if you want to talk about some of your favorite songs. That is suburbspod@gmail.com. Uh-huh. Or you can also call our hotline if you want to talk about your favorite song from last year or just talk about music in general, whatever. Leave us a message and we can build a little episode around you too. And number is 612-440-1984. There you go. And that's a Minneapolis or Minnesota area code
interchange
that we got there.
That's Minneapolis. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not there, but we got that number somehow.
That's right. Georgia will call you back if you really want her to.
Yeah. So, okay. Thanks very much. From the basement, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I remain Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you later.